Okay, let's get into our discussion of Perek Yud in Sefer Malachim Aleph. Perek Yud, we have Shlomo HaMelech being the king. Shlomo HaMelech, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him, after he had his great celebration, the 14-day celebration in the month of Tishrei, and now, after everyone realizes that he is the greatest, and he is the wisest, and he is the richest, this Perek tells us the first half of it about a certain queen called Malkas Sheva, comes, and she lives far away. She hears about the amazing person that Shlomo HaMelech is, and she says, I have to go see it myself, I have to go test him. So she travels all the way to Yerushalayim, and she comes with camels, she's obviously very rich, and the spices and gold, and she comes, and she starts talking to Shlomo, and after a little bit she realizes she even underestimated how amazing he was, and she says, I didn't even know half of how wise you are. And she is so impressed with how his empire runs, and all the food industry and everything, and she gives a blessing. She says, praised are you, praises your God, amazing. And she goes home, she turns around and she goes home. That is the first half of the parak. And then the second half of the parak tells us more about the opulence and the amazing amount of material, gold and silver and horses and trees that Shlomo HaMelech has amassed. Included in that is, as we will talk about, Shlomo HaMelech's throne. Shlomo builds himself a throne made out of ivory covered with gold, six steps up each. You have lions and all different animals on the sides. And the pasuk says, Lo nasa kein l'chol mamlachos. There was never a throne like this in the history of the world. And then it's described again all the horses and everything else that Shlomo HaMelech has amassed. This is really laying the groundwork for the next parak. The next parak, as we will see, begins Shlomo's downfall. Again, he was a great tzaddik and he was an unbelievable, but as Chazal says, the psukim say, towards the end of his malchus, you know, he sinned, he lost it, and we will see. There is only one more. Parak Yud Aleph is the end of Shlomo, the end of the next parak. Shlomo Melech dies, and his son Rechavim is going to take over. So this is the parak where he's still on top, and this woman, this queen, comes to visit him. Okay, so now let's see what the parak is about. There is a question amongst the Mefarshim, what is so important and crucial about this story? Like, what do we have to know? There were many people probably from all over the world that came by and wanted to see what Shlomo was like. So the Mefarshim try to suggest that she is some type of role model, some type of prototype. Maybe she symbolizes all other wisdoms of the world, and all other wisdoms are subjugated to the wisdom of Torah. But there is unusual that there's one story that's mentioned here about the queen of Sheva, Malka Sheva. Also, where is Sheva? That is not clear where Sheva is. Some say it's a country in Africa. Maybe some say it's a country if you want to relate it to what we discussed the last parak about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that it's somewhere in Peru. Maybe it's a place in South America, but it's somewhere far off that the gold, it's a place which has a lot of gold, and she brings a lot of it with her. There is a day, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah has a day on Daf Tesvav, then maybe it wasn't a woman at all, it was a man. That's what the Gemara says. It was really a man. Amar Abionasan kala Omer Malchus Shva Isha Haisa Eino Elatoa. It's a mistake. My Malka Shva, what it sounds like Malka, Malchus de Shva. It means this was the ruler of the Malchus of Shva. That's what the Gemara says. And the Marsha there wonders, why did the Gemara do this? You know, why wouldn't you take the Pasuk Kipshuto? It sounds like it's a woman. It sounds like it's a queen. So explains the Marsha, maybe the Gemara is doing that. Rabbi Yonasan is not saying that it wasn't a woman. It was a woman. But maybe what Rabbi Yonasan means is that it wasn't just the wife of the king. Malchus Shva is emphasizing that she was independent. She was the queen. It wasn't just that she was royalty because of her husband. That's what it means, that she was independent, like a man, like a king is usually independent. That is what the suggestion of the Maharsha is. So what happens? So Umalka Shva Shomas is Shema Shlomo L'Shem Hashem. She hears all about the amazing things about Shlomo. How did she hear? So the Abarbanel says this country, Shva, must have been near some of the other countries where Shlomo HaMelech, his artisans and his messengers went to get more materials, and they probably spoke about all these amazing stories about Shlomo. She overheard, and she's like, really? I have to go see this guy. It must be that she overheard the people talking when we just spoke about the boats at the end of the last parak. So when these people went on the boats and they passed by her country, so she wanted to come and test Shlomo with his with his wisdom. So she hears about it, and she comes, Vatavol and Asoso Bechidos. And she wants to test him. Also, the Radak picks up on that she hears the Shema Shlomo, L'Shem Hashem. She realizes, she knows what philosophers and wise people throughout the world do. They are not so godly. They are not so perfecting in their midos. And what does this pasuk say in pasuk Aleph? She hears Shema Shlomo, L'Shem Hashem, says the Radak. Rov chartumim v'ha asha v'ashmim m'saskim b'chachmas hachitzonos ein malachtom l'shem Hashem. They're not l'shem Shemayim. You could have ethicists that are amazing ethicists, but they're not ethical people. You could have amazing people who are very smart, but they're not connected to God. What she was amazed about, what she heard about, and what she actually saw was that Shlomo HaMelech was not just involved, but he was involved in wisdom, but he was actually doing it connected to Hashem. So she came to test him. Vatava Yerushalayma b'chayo kaved ma'o. She comes with a very heavy entourage, gemalim, nosim, besamim, v'rav v'zav rav ma'od, much spices and gold, ve'evan yikara and precious stones. She comes to Shlomo and she speaks to Shlomo, kol asher haya im levava. What does that mean? All that was in her heart? Like private things. The things that you shouldn't know about. And Shlomo answers every question. Vayagad l'Shlomo es kol devareah lo hayadavar ne'alem en ha'melech asher lo higiv lo. There was nothing that he could stump her with, she could stump him with. Vatera, and she sees exactly what happened. And now she sees the pasuk described. She sees the chachma. Ve'habayis asher bana. U'ma'achol shulchano. U'moshav avadav. U'ma'amon mesharza. She sees the chachma. And the food, and the servants, and the drink, and what is it? And their clothing. What does this mean? She's amazed. What, she never saw opulence and royalty? What does it mean that she was amazed at the food and the clothing? Volasso asher yala beis Hashem, which olasso pashas. You read the pasuk, sounds like a carbon ola. That's what ola means. The mefarshim, the radak, and others say it means the special steps that were made up. Okay, but either way, what does the pasuk say? Velo haya ba'od ruach. She was flabbergasted. She had nothing to say. She had no ruach. She had no spirit in her. She couldn't. She was in shock. What was so shocking for her? What was so shocking? The food and the amount? So explains the Mefarshim, the Ber Moshe explains this and others. No, it was the fact that there was Kedusha, there was the balance, there was the Chachma and the connected to Torah, like we have L'Shem Hashem, with all the food and the, like Shlomo at this point of his life, yes, at the end of his life, as we'll see in the next parak, he went downhill. Rachman al-Islan. But here, in the, at least at this stage, it was the same, says the Ber Moshe. The food and the olaso asher yala beis Hashem. It was all looked at as a karbon. It was all looked at b'kedusha v'tara. That's what she was amazed about. To have such a king who has such gashmius, but it's also beautifully interwoven with ruchnius. That's what she was amazed about, and that's what took her breath away. Shehi nechza b'his palus. I'm reading from the Ber Moshe. Mea pela hazeh asher ma'achol shulchano v'olaso asher yala beis Hashem hu etzlo ke'echad. It was all connected. Mishum she'achilaso aisa b'kedusha yisera ad shelo haya beina levein karbon ola she'ikulo kalil Hashem. There was no difference between pre-cooked karbon ola and eating, but it was all sudas mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah in more than one place quotes the Shlach Kadosh, who says that if you say a Dvar Torah, or, take it back, if everything you eat is all l'shem Shemayim, if everything you eat is to stay healthy, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everything we eat has the status of a sudas mitzvah. And that's what it should be, the Shlach Kadosh says. And you don't need the Shlach Kadosh, but it's the Rambam. Right? The Rambam talks about this at length in Hilchos Deos, where he talks about in the third paragraph of Hilchos Deos, that everything we do should be L'Shem Shemayim, should be in the context of Avodas Hashem. And that, one could suggest, is what the Queen of Sheva was amazed about with Shlomo. He was so involved in the world, and it was so physical, but it was all in the context. Like the Rambam says, Tzarech Ha'adam She'achavein Kol Ma'asav Kulam K'dei Leidas Hashem Baruch Hu Bilvad. A person has to be mechaved all of his actions to know Hashem. Everything we do. V'yeshivto, v'kumo, v'diburo. How he gets up and down and how he talks. Hakol l'umazeh adavar. And then he goes through all the examples. When one does business, it has to be in order to make a living, in order to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein kishe yochal v'yishteh v'yivo. When he's eating or drinking with his wife. Lo yasim alibo laso zvarm halalu. K'dei le'anos bilvad. It's not just to get hana, to fill my stomach. No. It's all in the context of Avodas Hashem. And that's why there are rules. You're not supposed to eat unless you're sitting, and Derech Eretz, and all the different rules about Derech Eretz in terms of being involved in this physical world. And even the Rambam even says, when we sleep, our sleep could be l'shem shamayim. Afilu b'shashu yashen im yashen ladas kedei shetanuach daito alav, to get refreshed. V'yanuach gufo kedei shelo yechles, so don't get sick. V'lo yuchal avodas Hashem v'uchal, I can't serve Hashem when I'm sick properly. Nimsei shena shelo avod l'makom baruch hu. That's also part of it. V'al inyan zet tivu chachamim kol masef yu l'shem shamayim. And I think you could say a diak of that, of this idea of even sleep. Maybe the Rambam gets it from, I'm not sure. The Rambam gets it from the Gemara, the end of Brachas, which lists off all the Birchas HaShachar we say every morning. When you open your eyes, you say Pokei HaChivrin. And when you this, and when you that. What's the first one on the list? Before you go to sleep, you say Amapil. That's the first one on the list. What should it be? That should be the last one on the list. The last one, after a whole day, it should be the last one. No, the Gemara has that the first day. The first one. Why? Maybe to emphasize, that's also part of Avodas Hashem. My day starts with going to sleep properly. Right? And that's the Hamapil beforehand. But that's all what the Malka Shiva saw, and what made her have v'lo haya ba'od ruach, that she couldn't even talk, that she was so amazed. Okay, v'tomer el ha-melech pasuk vav. So she says, emes haya hadavar asher shamarti ba'artzi. Every single thing is true, what I heard. Al dvarecha v'al chachma secha. About your words, about your chachma. V'lo emanti ladvarim. I did not believe it. Ad asher basi v'tirena einai. I see it v'hinei lo hugad li ha-chetzi. Not even half. What I imagine, what I heard, it's not even half of what exactly is. And then she says, Ashrei anashecha, Ashrei avadecha, praised are your men, praised are your servants that get to be with you always. Pasuk tes, Yihi Hashem alokecha baruch, asher chafetz b'chal l'sitcha kisei Yisrael. Praised is Hashem that, you know, put you on this throne, and the king gave, and then they exchange gifts, etc. And then there's an amazing pasuk towards the end of the paragraph, after they exchange gifts, and Shlomo does whatever she wants, v'tefen v'telech la'artzehi v'avadeha. She turns around and she goes home. She goes home. The parallel story is mentioned in Divrei Hayamim with one extra word. One extra word, it says, v'tafoch. She turned around, and then she v'tefen, and then she went home. What's the emphasis? You would think, after she was so inspired, right, she was awed, she gave a bracha, you're amazing, your God's amazing. Maybe she would not go back to what she was doing before. Maybe somebody would be inspired. Maybe somebody would convert. Maybe something, nothing. What does the pasuk say? She turned around and she went home. Explain the Bali Musar. That's a midah of akshanus, a midah when we see inspiration and we don't let it affect me. Right? That's a certain stubbornness in spirituality. And we find people throughout history that have had that. Right? What happens after the meeting of Lavan and Yaakov? Hashem appears to Lavan, don't touch my Yaakov, v'chulu, the end of Parashat Vayetze. What does it say? Vayashkim Lavan baboker, vayinashik Lavanav v'livno sav, vayivarech Hashem, Lavan gets up in the morning, he gives his daughters and grandchildren a kiss, vayelech vayashav Lavan limkomo. Lavan returned to his spot. Vayakov halach ledarko. But Yaakov kept going on his way. For the Bali Machshava point out, there's a difference between going limkomo and ledarko. Limkomo means you go back to where you were before. Lavan didn't move. Lavan had 20 years being with a Yaakov, and he had a divine vision here. Nothing. He went back to where he was. But Yaakov was constantly ledarko, going on his derech, and that's also what's mentioned here, that this Mount Malka Shiva, amazing, but then she didn't let it affect her, right? She went back to being the same Malka Shiva. There is a very unusual Rashi. Rashi on Pasuk Yud Gimel, and it's in parentheses. So it's not exactly, not really sure exactly where it came from. Let's read the Pasuk again. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'amelech Shlomo nasan l'malka Shiva es kol chefza. The king Shlomo gave to the queen of Shema all that she wanted. Asher Shala, everything she asked for. So it sounds like, right, gold and silver, v'chulu. But then there's a Rashi. Rashi in parentheses, ba eleha, v'nolad mimena Nevuchadnezzar. He was with her, Malka Shiva, Shlomo. And they had Nevuchadnezzar. That was a child that came out of this. The Hechrev Abayis Sha'amar Arba Me'oshan of Ezer Shanim, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, which stood for 410, Bechelek Kol Shneim Azar Shvatim, in the Chelek that every Shevet gave a portion, contributed to the Beis HaMikdash. Very unusual. What does Rashi mean here? What does it have to do with the how long the Beis Hamikdash stood for and the Shvatim? All the Mefarshim try to figure out exactly where this came from. But in any case, if it is true that somehow the Malka Shiva and Shlomo had some type of relationship, says the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky right here, there is a big discussion. Obviously, it was a bigger discussion a number of decades ago, but a big discussion about the status of the Ethiopians. The status of the Ethiopians, were they Jewish all the time? Do they need Gebers L'chumra? So there are some that say maybe the Ethiopians came from this Malka Shva. She came, she went back to Africa. Right, that's where many assume that the country was from. She went back and she had her. If that's true, though, says Rabbi Yaakov, then they weren't Jewish. Doesn't say anywhere that she converted. Right? You want to say Bas Paro converted, the Rambam says. But it doesn't say that Malka Shva converted. So if it's true, so A, they didn't convert, and B, number two, it says that they had Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is a different country. That's the Babylonians. Right? That's not the Africans. Al Kapanim. So she just said, Rabbi Yaakov says, Lafi Ha'agah, so it's according to this Hagah, whatever the source of it is, Ein Lachavashim Ba'Africa Kesher L'Shlomo HaMelech Kefi Shem Edam Yunim. Right? They don't have a connection. And related to this, obviously, is the major discussion, Rove of the Poskim at the time, where the Israeli government was trying to figure out in the early 1970s what to do, to bring all the Ethiopians, not to. Rove of the majority of the Poskim at the time, the Tzitz Eliezer, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Herzog, many of them said that you can't know for sure. And you have to assume they might not be Jewish, and therefore you have to do Geiris L'Chumra at that time. And that's what the many Rabbanim held. But Rav Avadi Yosef was one of the psakim that changed the face of Israeli society. Rav Avadi Yosef said they're Jewish. They're Jewish, not from Malka Shva. He says they're from Shevet Dun. Who does he get this from? He gets this from Radvaz, 500 years before. This is printed now in Yabia Omer Chelek Ches in Evan Ezer Simon Yud Aleph Beinyan Ole Ethiopia. It's dated Tavshin Mem Hey, which is 1985. But really, the psak was given in 1973, much earlier. He says the Radvaz already says Shekol Elu Achavishish Haba Me'aretz Kush He Mishevet Dun Belisafek. Because they don't have rabbanim, so they take the Torah kipshuto. Many of their shitos are taking the psukim at face value. Avalam hayim olam demosam lo yu kofrim kedas karoim shem tzaduku baitus heim dinam ketinuk shenishma bina akum umitzvah leftosim alachayosam. Says Rav Avadia, I paskin like this Radvaz, I paskin like the Radvaz's Talmud. And who is going to come after these two great rabbis to throw a psul in? He notes that Rav Herzog is against him, and that Tzitz Eliezer is against him, and Rav Moshe Feinstein is against him, and one by one he tries to knock out each of their claims, and this is the basis for the Israeli government saving and bringing them back, the law of return of every Jew being able to come to Eretz Yisrael. It was based on the Shuva, based on the Shita of Rav Avadia. So again, without getting into the details of the Pratim, some suggest it has something to do with this Malka Shva, but again, according to the Rashi, Nebuchadnezzar, there would be nothing to talk about. Okay, so we continue now. So we talk about, that was the visit of the Queen of Shva. So now we get into the gold. Much gold is brought into the Malchus, and then we have Pasuk Yudches. Vayas HaMelech Kisei Shein Gadol. The king makes a very large throne of made out of ivory, Vaitzapeyu Zahav Mufaz, and it's made out of a special gold, Sheishmalos Lakise, six steps going up, Varosh Agol Lakise, around headboard, Me'acharav, V'yodos Mizel Mizel Makom HaShaves, V'shtaim Arayot Omdim Eitzel Yodos, his arms rested on lions, golden lions, Ushneimasar Arayim, and then 12 lions on the way up. One on each side, Kineged the 12 Shvatim, Lo Nasa Ken L'Chol HaMamlachos. There was nothing like this throne in all the Malchus. So there is a lot of discussion in the Midrashim about this throne, for the symbolism of this throne. If you look in the Rabbeinu Bachai, in his Hakdama to the Torah, Rabbeinu Bachai says, and that he said, first he quotes, if you look in Divrei Hayamim, where this is quoted, it's called Kisei Hashem L'Melech. And Rabbeinu Bachai discusses, why is it called Kisei Hashem? It's for Shlomo. So there's a lot of symbolism. The Abarbanel goes through each and every detail. Why are there two lions that he rests his arms on? That's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. That's what's right under him. Why are there 12 steps. Either the Shvatim, he has to judge equally for the Shvatim, or there are various Midrashim. One Midrash says that every time, maybe written on every step, or called out magically, there are six losases that have to do with the judge. Don't take bribes. Don't judge falsely. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't show favoritism. That's what it said on each of the steps. Right, just to go up, those six. Others say it was other Shisha Sidre Mishnah, the 6 days of creation, all different messages of what is meant. But there's obviously something symbolic about much of the details of the throne. There's even some Midrashim that say that whenever the Shlomo HaMelech went up, the animals became alive. Some of the lions became alive. They stuck out their paw and they helped Shlomo up. Where does this come up? That they came alive? It even comes up in a halachic context. Where is that? The Gemtosis in Yuma, Nun Dalet Amud Beis, asks, there's an Issa D'Oraisa to create graven images. Right? The sun, the moon, the stars, and even 3D animals. How could Shlomo Melech have done this? Says Tosfos, Amna Malkisei Shlomo Ani Temia. How could you create these graven images? Tosas gives two answers. Number one, maybe Apia Dibur. Maybe Hashem told him. Well, we don't know that he did that. But then Tosas says, maybe Viikala Meimar Baha Migdara Milsa Shiny. If it was for a purpose to help people follow Halacha, so then you're allowed to do it, like Elio Bahara Carmel. We're going to see later on in Malachim when Elio brought Karbanos on Hara Carmel to disprove the false gods. So that was allowed, even though there was an Isser of Karbanos there. So how here was it helpful? Vishema Baha Milsa Nami Ikdal Migdar Milsa. Why? Unbelievable. Shekshayu Eidim Ba'im Lahid Befanav. Tosfos says, when witnesses come to testify in front of Shlomo, Hayu Arayot Shoagim Benoamim. The lions used to roar. To scare them, to make sure you better tell the truth, you know, when you're giving testimony in front of me. Kamoshi Ish B'medrash. Omitol Kach, and that would prevent people from lying, giving aid to Sheker. Omitol Kach, Oyim Espachtim Lohad Eid to Sheker. Unbelievable. And then a third answer, maybe somebody else did it for him, but either way, that's a lot of Midrashim about this throne of Shlomo. There is another Medrash. The Medrash says, the Vilna Gaon quotes this in his commentary to Megillas Esther. It's an amazing point, that Achashverosh wanted to make a throne just like Shlomo's. He had to make a throne. It was huge. It was unbelievable. It was known throughout the land. So what could he do? So the best artisans that were in his Malchus in 127 countries were in Shushan. So he went to Shushan and had them build a throne. So now he built the throne. But now what? The throne has to be transported to the capital, but it's too heavy. They couldn't transport it. So you know what Achashverosh did? Okay, let's move my capital to Shushan. Because the throne was in Shushan, he moved his whole capital. That's what he's medayitan on the first pasuk in the Megillah. What's the message? He just so happened to be in Shushan, where Mordechai and Esther lived. It just, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works out the refuah before the makkah. He heals. He works out the solution before he has the problem. It just so happens that Achashverosh ended up in Shushan. As we know, it's not, it just so happened. But that's the Gra's comment that Achashverosh wanted to copy Shlomo's throne, and he built it in Shushan, and that is why the whole story happened there. And now we have, just towards the end, this is already the beginning of the end. We have two psukim. The pasuk in Pasuk of Aleph says that Ein kasev lo nechshav bidei Shlomo lemeuma. In the days of Shlomo, silver was like nothing. It was like nothing. And if you look a couple of psukim later, in Pasuk Chav Zayin, it says, Vayitin HaMelech HaZakesev Yerushalayim Ka'avanim. It was like stones. So the Gemara already points out, Rashi quotes it. Was it like stones? Stones are worth something. Was it like stones are worth nothing? So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's pre and post his marriage to Bas Paro. Originally, it was like nothing. Money didn't mean anything to him. Once he got married to Bas Paro, things started going downhill, so then it was worse. So the Maharsha on that Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph, says, when it was earlier in his life, then his focus was Torah, his focus was totally spiritual, everything was perfect. But once he started straying somewhat, so then already things started going down, and the value system started changing. And that's also, the groundwork is being laid in this perek, as we talk about that Shlomo HaMelech started to compile many, many horses, much money, right? Which is a shaila. We're in with the three surim in the Torah. King can't have too many horses, wives, or money. And already here, you see in this parak, he has a lot of money, he has a lot of horses, and we'll see where that's going to lead as we pick up with the next parak, Bezhem next time, which will be the last and final parak of Shlomo HaMelech. And then maybe this Sefer Malachim itself is 22 prakim. Maybe after the next parak, we'll have a review as well. Okay, we'll stop here.